Well, I'm thankful this morning for that God that we just sang about. A God that still answers prayer. An amazing God. An alive God. A personal God. A God that calls each one of us by name. He knows us. He cares. He understands the intricacies. He understands all the little details that nobody else understands. He understands you. And He has a vested interest in your victory. God has a vested interest in your victory. He paid a great price on the cross that everyone here today would experience victory. That you would be able to see walls come down in your life. The Lord has a vested interest in seeing the waters part for you. When you come and it looks like that the enemy's behind you and there's waters in front of you and there's nowhere to go. We serve a God today who is able to part the waters. He's able to bring down the walls of fortified cities that look impenetrable. He cares. He's able to cause our enemies to turn on themselves, if you will, without us ever having to lift a hand. God is a God this morning that is an alive, awesome, real, worthy God to be served. And I'm thankful today to be able to call Him Father. Glad that He is my Father and He is my God. I'm thankful today for the opportunity to preach the gospel this morning, and I'm humbled to do so, and I want to be faithful to the calling of the Lord to preach the gospel. We live in an uncertain world, but we serve a certain God. And I'm comforted by the words of the psalmist that says, "Be still and know that I am God." And I want you to be assured this morning that He is still God, He is still your God, and He is still in control. This morning I'm challenged with a particular burden that is on my heart. I feel full of the Word of the Lord this morning with this burden, and trust that God will inspire your hearts with this message, that the Lord would be able to use it not only in the course of the message this morning, but that it would be something that He would be able to talk with all of us, me included, in the days ahead. And that is that we serve a God who is interested in us serving Him as our only God. We serve a God who doesn't want to be shared among other gods with the lowercase g. But we serve the God. We serve the God of heaven. We serve the God of all creation. And we serve a God who wants us to serve Him as our only God. And I'm especially stirred with that because I feel like this morning that our allegiance to being in a place where we are consistently serving God as our only God, it is being battled against today. The world, the spirit of the world, the enemy, is coming against us and battling for our allegiance. And it is getting very deceptive today, as we'll get into a little bit this morning. It is becoming deceptive because we are being given the option to serve God in heaven, but to also allow other gods to come into our life and to serve those gods. And it can be very deceptive and subtle. And we can wake up one day and find that our oil has run out. I am also particularly challenged because Jesus in heaven was challenged with the same thing. I recall in the fourth chapter of Luke, do you remember that was one of the very temptations of Jesus? It said that the enemy came and the enemy tempted Jesus with the things of this world, with the glory of this world, tempted Jesus with that. And Jesus found strength in replying to the enemy. He said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." If the Lord was tempted in this manner, be assured that we too will be tempted in that way. And we have a responsibility this morning. We have a responsibility to overcome, just like the Lord had to overcome. And if Jesus Christ was tempted with these things, so will we be too. And so the message this morning is an important message that I feel very burdened about. That if we're not very, very careful, we can find consolation, we can find security in the belief that we are serving God. And yet at the same time, we have an enemy that is coming against us to begin to chip away at our allegiance to where He is not the only God that we are serving, but that we have let other gods come into our lives. I'd like to start in the book of Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua 1 and the first verse. And I have a little bit of ground to cover in the Scriptures, and so if you will allow me, I'd like to paraphrase some of this to be able to get the gist of it. But we find that in the first chapter of Joshua, Moses had already died. The children of Israel were still in the wilderness. They had not reached the land of Canaan yet. And the Lord came to Joshua and said, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said, "Moses, my servant, is dead." And he told Joshua, "Now you arise. Rise up and take these people." And he said, "I have much land that I want to give you. I want to give you all this land that's out there. It has been reserved for you." And he said, "There isn't going to be anybody that's able to stand against you all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses," he said, "I'm going to be with you too. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. I will not forsake you, folks. We serve the same God. He won't fail you. God won't forsake you. Regardless of what you may face, the giants that are out there, the waters that are out there, we serve the same God of Joshua, the same God of Moses, the same God of Caleb." Where Caleb looked and he said, that mountain over there, he was 85 years old or so. He said, "I'm well able. I can still take that mountain. That mountain was given to me." Regardless of where you are in life, regardless of the giants that are out there, God has mountains yet to give you today. And he promised them, I have all this land that I want to give you. Don't be afraid. Be of good courage that thou mayest do all that's according to the law. And so the Lord told Joshua, don't go to the right. Don't veer off towards the left. But do exactly what I tell you to do. And if you'll follow me, if you will serve me only, if you won't allow yourself to go out after other gods, if you won't be distracted by the temptations, by the discouraging things that come our way, but if you will keep centered in my will, that when you face these things, I will be there with you. And he said, "Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whether thou goest, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night," talking about the law of the Lord, that they would stay focused on the importance of serving God. Folks, this morning, don't allow yourselves to be distracted from the word of the Lord. Don't put yourself in a place where we don't give God space in our life to be able to talk to us. Because the spirit of the world is talking to us. It's talking to us. We hear things that it says to us. We have many things out there that are being pushed upon us and put on our plate and in our lives. Make sure that you give Jesus Christ space in your life. Give Him your ear. Give Him your time. Give Him your attention so that you can maintain proper perspective. Because we can lose perspective. The world can slowly start to tell us all of the things that are important, and we can start to feel, well, I got to attend to that, and this over here is really important, and we start getting in a frenzy of all the temporal things of life that will pass away, and we begin to lose perspective of the important things of the law of God that He wants us to keep in the center of our lives. And so He told them, meditate on it day and night. And He said, if you do that, you'll have good success. So He encouraged Joshua this way. And Joshua encouraged those that were with him, the Israelites, to go this way. And you know what? They did. They had much victory. They saw many things happen by the power and the strength of the Lord. And God kept His word and blessed them as long as His word was followed. Nevertheless, they did turn to the left, and they did turn to the right, and they did begin to allow other gods to come in and have a place that the Lord wanted reserved for Himself. And so now I'd like to fast forward to the end of Joshua's life. I don't know how old Joshua was. It's not exactly clear how old he was when Moses died and when God called him. If you kind of try to look at some of the ages of Caleb and how old Moses was, how long they were in the wilderness and when Moses died, it looks like Joshua, he was a pretty old man when the Lord called him, maybe around 80, maybe in his early 80s. But now we know that he passed away when he was about 110. So if we fast forward right before he died, Joshua gathered the people back together. No doubt after the Lord had given them victories, He had shown Himself strong in their behalf, but also after they began to allow other gods to come among them. And so He gathered all the people in the 24th chapter of Joshua, gathered the tribes of Israel, and He brought them in, and He began to relate to them and tell them all of the things that God had been faithful to them in. It told them the power of God that had been manifested in their behalf. And so then he gets down to the 14th verse, and he said, now therefore, fear the Lord. This Lord we were just talking about. Fear Him. Serve Him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. And he said, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. They may have taken gods with them. They didn't drive out all of the enemy in Canaan. And when they left those people in place and they didn't drive them out, those people were still serving their own gods. Those gods then began to have an influence on the Israelites because they were allowed to remain. It's like, well, okay, we'll let you remain. We won't serve your gods. You all just kind of stay over here. And they tolerated it. They became familiar with it. They were exposed to their gods. Pretty soon they accepted those gods. And pretty soon they were participating in gods they had no business participating in. And so now Joshua gets to the end and he's telling them, y'all, you need to choose today. Choose who it is you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the gods that were on the other side of the flood? Are you going to serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're dwelling today? He said, if it seem evil unto you, serve the Lord and choose you this day whom you'll serve. Whether the gods of the fathers that were on the other side of the floods or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But he had made a decision for himself. He said, but as for me, you all have a choice. And therein is a whole other message that we won't get into this morning. It's your choice. God is not going to force it on you. If you want to allow the gods of the world to come into your life, if you want to allow it to come into your home, if you want to allow the gods of the world to begin to have space in your heart, in your mind,
consume your time, the Lord will let you. He'll let you do it. It's your choice. He's not going to impose His will upon us during this time. He gave us the choice. It's the franchise of the Free Mole Agency. Brother Horry Young used to preach. It's our choice. And you have the ability to decide. And when they come in, the Lord isn't, most of the time in today's age, the Lord is not going to strike you down dead with a bolt of lightning as soon as you do something and allow a God in that you shouldn't be letting in. And then what happens over time is you become comfortable with it. And you begin, you can still come to church here. You can still worship the Lord. And in the meantime, it doesn't seem like anything that bad's happened. I mean, so-and-so's doing it over here. They've allowed these things in. It seems like they still have a good testimony. They abide with us. Doesn't seem like it's that harmful. And the Lord lets you choose. Joshua said, your choice. But you need to serve. You need to make a choice. Who it is you're going to serve. He said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not going to serve the other gods. We're not going to serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land we have allowed them to dwell in our land. We've allowed them a place. And now y'all are serving them. You need to make a choice who you're going to serve. And the people listened to what Joshua said. And they were stirred in their hearts. I'm stirred when I read this because it's real life to me today. The gods of the world are being pushed on us. We'll talk about some of those here in a minute. But Joshua gave them this exhortation, and the people answered and said, well, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and to serve other gods. The Lord, it said, for the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up out of Egypt. They recognized that and they told Joshua, okay, we're not going to do that. We're going to serve the Lord God. And Joshua told them, he said, you cannot serve the Lord for He's a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Strange gods. Gods that are not the one true God. Every other God is a strange God, folks. There's just one God that is not a strange God. It's the God. All of the other ones aren't real gods. They're phony gods. They promise and can't deliver. They're clouds without rain. They're wells without water. They don't satisfy. They promise, but they don't satisfy. They tickle the ears. They entice us. They give us short-term satisfaction and joy. They don't give you heart peace. They don't fulfill what God wants to fulfill for you in your life. Put away the strange gods. And Joshua told them, if you keep the strange gods, it isn't going to work. You're not going to be able to serve the one true God and have His blessings on your life if you allow the strange gods to abide. And the people said, no, nay, we're not going to do that. We hear you. We get it. We're going to serve the one true Lord, true God. And Joshua told the people, okay, you're witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. And so he said, all right, then put away the strange gods which are among you and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Saints, if you have strange gods in your heart, if you've let them into your home, if you've let them into your mind, the good news this morning is that God is giving us an opportunity to put them away, that we might be able to follow the God in heaven that is able and willing to do so much for us. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus, there's always hope associated with the gospel. While there is time, there is hope. The gospel brought a message of hope because God knew we were in need. We have strange gods that we need to get rid of. We need to purge ourselves, cleanse ourselves, put them away, cast them down, bring the high places down that are in our lives, that we might be able to refocus and understand there's just one God that I need to serve. And the people said, okay, that's what we'll do. We'll serve the one God. Joshua said, all right, you're witnesses against yourselves unto this day that you said you're going to serve the one true God. And that was his dying exhortation. But what happened? What happened? Eventually, as has happened all down through the ages and as is happening today, they did turn to the right again. They did turn to the left again. They did allow other strange gods to be able to come in. And I want to turn now to the 2 Kings and fast forward even again and show you that this has happened all down through the ages of time, and it's happening today. Turn with me to 2 Kings, if you will. The 17th chapter. 2 Kings 17. This is now many, many, many years later, because we don't have time to go all the way from Joshua to all the kings. But now, years have passed, and over, people would come and they would remind the people, you need to serve the one true God. They would turn away, bad things would happen to them. They would turn again to God, God's blessings would come upon them. They would turn away, bad things would happen to them. I remember when I was about 4 or 5 years old, listening to my mom read that Bible storybook with all the neat pictures in it. Ergemeyer's, I'm probably not pronouncing it right. And I remember as just a little child, it seemed like night after night after night, we'd read these stories about all these miracles God would do for the people, and then you turn right around and they're running off somewhere, and then bad things would happen, and then they turn to the Lord and the good things. And I remember thinking, why can't these people get it? Why do they keep doing this? Why do they keep turning away from the very God that helps them? That doesn't make any sense. And yet, we do the same thing today. We're so apt to do this. We forget so quick. We forget that when we turn to strange gods that look appealing, they flash, they're gold, they're silver, other people bow down to them. Other people say, well, that's important. I gotta have that. Gotta have that part of my life. That needs to be part of my routine. I wanna have that. There are many things like that in the world today. And over, when you start to give yourselves to those things and let them take the place that God wants to have in your life, bad things start happening. Amen. Victories are elusive. We wonder why God's not answering prayer. We wonder why we don't have the victory in our lives that we hear preached about. Why don't I have any victory? Why is it that I keep praying and asking the Lord for help in this thing over, and it just seems like I'm not getting anything? Why do you think that might be? God is a God of His Word. I heard a message that Brother Bob Wilson preached, and he made the comment, he said, we're waiting on God and we wonder why we're having to wait so long on God. He said, I wonder if sometimes God is waiting on us. We said, why isn't God answering our prayer? Lord, how long am I going to have to wait on you for you to do what needs to be done in my life? And God might be saying, how long am I going to have to wait on you to put away the things that are in between us and the power of God? And this happened all down through time. And now we get up, you can read through the 1st and 2nd Kings and read about a lot of kings, and a lot of them were not good kings. And they would go back and forth. A lot of them serving God, or a lot of them not serving God, some of them serving God. But listen to what it says in the 33rd verse of the 17th chapter. They feared, get a hold of this, y'all, stick with me. They feared the Lord, capital L, they feared the Lord and served their own gods.
They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. They didn't get rid of them. The gods were there. They still served the Lord and they served the gods, their own gods. And you read down through here, and it said, and the statutes and the ordinances in the 37th verse, and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, ye shall observe to do forevermore, and ye shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, ye shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods, but the Lord your God ye shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all of your enemies. Howbeit, they did not hearken. They were told that. We just read it all the way in Joshua. He told them that. Serve the Lord. Choose whom you're going to serve. Turn away from the strange gods. Don't serve them. And this exhortation was given to them over and over. But it said, howbeit. Howbeit. They did not hearken. So the 41st verse. So these nations feared. Get this again. So these nations feared the Lord, capital L, feared God in heaven, and they served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. That strikes fear in me, because the enemy can use that. If he can't take away your allegiance and your fear and your love for the God in heaven, the enemy will then revert to plan B. Go ahead and serve the Lord God. That's okay. But also give time and allegiance in your heart and space in your mind and place in the limited time that you have each day to these other gods. And if we do that, we will fall into exactly the same place that these people were. We serve the Lord, and we fear and serve the other gods. And that is exactly what is happening in our world today. That is exactly what we see all around us. Nominal Christianity, the different churches that are out there, so many of them that are out there, they do recognize the God in heaven. They do, to a point, they serve the Lord God in heaven. But there is space given to the strange gods that we read about. And they allow those to have an exalted place in their lives. Well, what is a God? A God is something that we put in a high place. A God is something that we give our allegiance to, that we look up to, that we give preference to. It doesn't have to be a graven image. Most of the time it's not anymore. In the United States, you don't usually go around and find a, in some places you do, but you don't go and find people bowing down to man-made, graven, golden, silver, bronze images per se. But a God is something that we lift up. We put it in an elevated place. It's something that we allow to get between us and the one true God. It's something that we look to supply us with something that God wants to be the one supplying us with. Peace, comfort, purpose, security, help. And we can turn to all these other things to give us a thrill, to give us something that causes us to take our mind off of our troubles. God wants us to take our troubles to Him, and He wants us to give us victory in our troubles. And yet the world is full of these gods that we put in elevated places, that we look up to, that we give allegiance to, that we give time to, and put God aside in the meantime. At the cost of putting God aside. Today as we speak, today as we are gathered together here in this service on Sunday, there are many, many people that are out there serving strange gods.
There are many people that have allowed other things to come into their life to begin to take the place that God wants to fill. They may not say, I don't recognize God as the one true God, but they're not giving Him His rightful place. And that's what has happened all down through time, all down through the ages. This isn't anything new. Way back in Kings, they feared the Lord and they served their graven image. And I want to pause a minute and say this. We live in a time where we don't like to be satisfied with just one thing. Right? Because we live in a time where there's lots of options. There's many, many options to satisfy us. There's a lot of things that appeal to us. And if they're spread all out in front of us and they're made available, like they are today, you had to go to some trouble to put them in front of us. But now there's so many things available to us. Things to look at, things to take in, things to give our time to. We can get places really fast. I mean, we have a lot of access to a lot of things. And we're a people that if we have access, if it's available, we don't like to be satisfied with just one thing a lot of times. And the other thing is, we don't like to be told no. We're in a time where we don't like somebody telling us, here's a line right here, and it's a stark line, and you can't cross over that line. It doesn't matter if you're getting a paycheck from somebody and working for them. They're the one giving you the paycheck. They're the ones that say, here's how I need for this to be done. They almost feel entitled. They feel entitled for the paycheck, but they want to do it however they want to do it. It's a spirit. It's an attitude. Children that are coming up today, they don't think the parents ought to have to tell them what they need to do. I'm a person too, just like you are. What makes you better than me? Why should the teacher be able to tell me? I'm a person just like they are. Nobody should be able to tell me anything that I should be able to make my decisions for myself. And it's an attitude and it is a spirit that is coming in the world today, and it is having an effect on everyone. It has an effect on how we view God. People don't want to be put in a place where they're told that is morally corrupt. That's sin. That's wrong. The Bible says that if you do such things, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. It's what the scripture says. People don't want to be told no. They don't want to be told they're wrong. And so, you don't have to look very far. You can go out into the world. You can find a church that serves, that lifts up the God that we lift up. And you'll feel some security with that because, well, they're serving God. They love the same God that my mom and dad served and that taught in the church down their ways. They will, but they will also allow for all of these other gods. But they don't call them gods. They're disguised. They don't say, folks, welcome to church this morning. We're going to praise and worship the God in heaven, and we want you to feel comfortable to praise and worship and serve all the other strange gods that are in your life too. They don't say that. They're not presented that way. But there is pressure. There is an influence against ministers in the world today to get up and preach the unadulterated gospel of Christ. To be able to feel the freedom to preach exactly what the scriptures say. Because if you preach exactly what the scriptures say, it's going to step on a lot of toes. And then when people hear that, it goes against what they want. They don't want to be told no. They don't want to be challenged that maybe they're thinking about this morally wrong. People want to do it however they want to do it. It's a spirit rampant all around us. And so many of the places that you go today, you will hear a diluted, watered down version of the gospel of Christ. And it does not bring the power with it. There's no power there. That's why people become disenfranchised with religion, Because they come and they hear about the power of God. They hear about the stories that we read. They're not told that they should put away the strange gods. And then they go and they try to find the power that they hear about, and it's not to be found. Because God won't work that way. He is looking for a people who are willing to put away the strange gods. And we live in a world where the Scripture teaches us in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, I believe it was Paul, he said, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And the God of this world, the enemy, is blinding our eyes. And we are not recognizing, people aren't recognizing always what they are doing to minimize the power that God wants us to have in our lives. So what are the gods out there? And I know we're running out of time. The gods that are out there today that are all around us. First, I'll say this. Adultery and fornication is rampant in the world today, and it's given place. And people that participate in it are looked up to. And they're held up in a high place. Spiritual adultery and fornication is taking place everywhere around us. The Lord wants to be our God. He doesn't want us to serve Him here and then go out the back door and serve other strange gods in the meantime. That's not, God doesn't want a people that do that. He wants a people that serve Him first and foremost and give Him our all in all. Fashion of the world today and pride is a god. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. And it has become a god in this world. Fashion has. And people don't want to be told. They don't want to be counseled. People don't want you touching that subject in many ways. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to look like I just walked out of the 1800s. I'm not really into looking like they did in the 1700s or the 1600s. Probably not going to come out with a coat of mail on, you know, and have armor. And to be honest with you, I'm really not wanting to look like the 70s either. I lived in that time period. And all I'm saying is that we are influenced by the times we live in. It's not a sin. I mean, fashions, trends, things change. We live in the world. We are in the world. That's not a sin. The Lord's not taking a different point in time and saying you have to look like they did in the 1800s. But here's what He is saying. Whatever your fashion is, it has to conform with holiness and modesty and to be able to still have God in His rightful place, where we don't let the pride of life take over a place in our life where it becomes a god to us. The entertainment of the world. Entertainment in the sports world has taken this world by storm. And I'll just tell you, young guys, I like sports. I grew up, if it was a football, a baseball, a basketball, a bicycle, a track, that's what I was all about. I liked it. I still like it. It's not a sin. Recreation is not a sin. But we have to be very careful that pretty soon we don't allow all of these things of the world begin to take an exalted place in our lives, where they begin to take the place that God wants in your life. And we begin to lift up and put in high places those things that are going to go away. They're going to burn. They're going to be no more. They're temporal. We're lifting up things that are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all that is in this world. It says it's not of God. It's of the enemy. It's not of God. I know it's close. And I know it's personal. And I'm not saying that there's not a place to go out and participate in good recreation. That's not what I'm saying. I do it. I like music. I like playing music. I do play music. But music, if you're not careful, it can become a god. It can be in your ears all the time and given a place that God wants to fill. You squeezed Him right out of your life. He doesn't have time anymore. He doesn't have space. And in your quiet times, there's all this stuff that just continually replays in your mind because that's what you've given yourself to. Lack of moderation. Lasciviousness. Where addictions, where there's so much around us, there's so much available. It's look, just because it's there doesn't mean that we should partake in it. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you can afford it doesn't mean you should buy it. Moderation, carefulness, holiness. Serving God so that when folks look at our lives and when God looks at our lives, they see holiness, righteousness, a people that care about Him above all else. That's how I want to live. And if you move down into the third, into the 18th chapter, and we won't read it because we're out of time, in 2 Kings, you read where Hezekiah was a god, was a king that did love God. He was a king that did serve God. And he said, and according to the works of David. And one thing that I'm struck with when you read through the books of Kings, some of these kings, they lived for years. And they were given about this much space in the book of Kings. And it was narrowed all the way down, filtered all the things they did out, down to this. Whether they served God and the fact that they died. They did according to the works of the Lord, according to David, and they slept with their fathers and were buried. That's it. And you know what? That's what it boils down to. That's all that matters. In the end, all that is going to matter is if we serve God only. In the final analysis, that's all that's going to matter. Did we serve God only? Or did we get ourselves in the place where we were serving God only? And we made things right, and we got rid of the strange gods. That's all that matters in the final analysis. And the fact that every one of us are going to die, folks, our time's coming. And we don't know when it is. It's uncertain. And it usually happens at a timing that we didn't expect. And in the end, when we stand before God, are we comfortable? Are we willing to take whatever things or people that we elevate and that we give allegiance to and that we give space and that we give time, are we willing to come to the judgment with it? Are we willing to say, Lord, this is what I'm about. This is who I am. Eternity stretches forth ahead. This is what I am, Lord. This is what I gave myself to. The little bit of time that I had each day, this is how I spent my time. This is what I talked to. This is what I lifted up as important. In the end, just a few feet in the grass with a gravestone, a name, and a date. And eternity stretches on. And the Lord is bidding us today, come serve me only. Let me be your God. Let me satisfy you where you want to be satisfied. I can satisfy you in the thing that you're reaching out to, these other things that are going to pass away. I know why you're drawn to those things, and I can satisfy that need in your life. Let me be a God that parts the waters for you. Let me be a God that brings down those walled cities. Let me be a God that brings healing in my name. Let me be a God to you that defeats the giants on the hillsides that you never thought you could defeat. That's what God wants to do for you today. God wants to be a big God, an awesome God. He wants us to have a personal testimony. That's the God I serve. He's done that for me.
And He wants us to be in the place where we're willing this morning to put away any strange gods that we have. And again, the hope of the gospel is that as we think about and meditate on these things, if there's places in our lives where we find that we have allowed some things in our lives and given them elevated status that we probably shouldn't give elevated status, the good news of the gospel is we serve a God of forgiveness. We serve a God who wants to help you. We serve a God who wants to reach down and pick us up and put us on solid ground and put a new song in our hearts because He wants to meet us in peace. Pray for me this morning. I want to be true. I want to be faithful. I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Amen. Appreciate your attention and patience with me this morning. May God bless you, each one.